Minehead Baptist Church Sermon Podcast for Sunday, the 26th of September, 2021. Hello and welcome. Thank you once again for joining me. My name's James and I'm the web guy here at NBC. This week we celebrated harvest. Richard spoke and the reading was Matthew chapter 9 verses 35 to 38. So we'll go and join Paul as he's introducing our harvest celebration.
And welcome to Minehead Baptist Church. Welcome if this is your first time here. And welcome if this is your... No, not your first time here. And you've been here for quite a while and you're part of the church family. Whether you've been here forever, if I can use that phrase, or this is your first time here, you are among church family. Welcome to our family. You aid us, you help us, you enrich us by being here. So thank you very much. And welcome if you're viewing us online. Just a few notices for this morning. Just to remind you, if you're viewing us online live today, this is the last Sunday you can view us live. We will be recording the Sunday service and we will be posting it on YouTube later on in the day, but we won't be live. That's to encourage us all out of our pajamas and back into church. So if you are still in your pajamas, enjoy your last pajama day church, won't you? And come and be with us next week. Welcome to our Harvest Festival of 2021. My name's Paul. I'm one of the ministers here at church. We are celebrating Harvest twice today. Once this morning at our 10 o'clock service and once this afternoon at our 4 o'clock service. And if you come to the 4 o'clock service, there is a bring and share tea afterwards. I have to tell you the truth. I know because the amount of food's coming out of my household down here that if you come, you'll be well fed, even if you have no food. So please come along and join us and celebrate harvest together. The notices for the week are as per the sheet. And there is also, in addition to the notice sheet, there is also a program leaflet showing what's going on here on dates and a few things for your diary between now and the end of December. Please, this may well be added to as we get towards December, but just to give you the base information and obviously as much as we're aware of now, that should be coming out with the CDs today and is available here in church and electronically if you're on our email list. If you're receiving the CD today, this is the last Sunday we'll be producing a CD of the whole service. So actually, we kind of get back to a bit more, we could call it normal, couldn't we, next week? But that is the reality of this time. It's also true to say that it's beautiful outside. And if you are going for a picnic in Blenheim Gardens, well done. We won't be there. A lot of us are involved in Harvest, the ministers of the church. So if you do go for a picnic, enjoy the picnic. We won't be there. But this is the last time we'll be kind of holding that as well, because we come into some, well, maybe not picnicky weather. There's one other thing to let the church know. One of those moments when, as a minister, you go, isn't that brilliant that we've got there? Here's the notice. We will be having fellowship after the service over tea and coffee next week. Yay! If we can find enough volunteers who are willing to help us do it. If you think, well, that's okay, Paul and Mark can make the tea, Richard can serve and wash up. That's the ministers here, in case you hadn't realised. I've got to tell you, good luck. But if we gather together, we all play our part, we can surely do this and share fellowship together. So if you are able to help in that way, please can you let the church office know or Mark or me know. Mark has very kindly offered to set things up next week and we'll see how we go from there. If you are able to help with serving tea and coffee and particularly with helping us clear up afterwards, can you see us? There is another kind of update as well, and that's to ask Minnie to come up and update us on one of the prayer requests that we had a short while ago about our auntie. Minnie, come and share.
Firstly, thank you so much to all of you that have sent messages and prayed with us over the last 6 weeks. It's been a worrying time as a family, but she is now... She has now been moved back from Brighton to the jail Ratcliffe in Oxford. This week, she has also been moved out of intensive care to a ward. She has had the tracheotomy removed from her throat and has spoken for the first time. She has also walked for the first time this week after being in a coma for 4 weeks. It's been a real, real answer to prayer as a family. At the beginning, we weren't sure at all if she would make it. So thank you all for your prayers. Please continue to pray for her. She is still incredibly weak and will be in hospital for some time to come. But amazing answer to prayer from a God who is love and has done amazing things.
So as Minnie says, please continue to pray for all of those that you know about that are on our prayer chain, on our prayer lists. And praise God, thank God this afternoon for that answer to prayer for Minnie's aunt. Do you know, it was amazing to be here last night and to be listening to and watching the conference from Open Doors. Something unique happened both last night and on the youth event on Friday night. I don't know if Roy and Jenny know this, but you're about to find out that on both nights, Minehead got a mention. How about that? Hey, last night, because we tweeted, and they didn't quite get it wrong, they get it right. Instead of Minehead Baptist Church is watching, they said Paul in Minehead is watching, but it was close enough. And then we've got a little clip to show you of the shout-out that was given to this church as part of the youth event on Friday. Now, we hope this works, okay? Okay, seem to be having a technical issue or two.
Signing up, keep doing it, that's absolutely fine. And we would love for you to be signing up to get one of these. We'll get them into the post as soon as we can. But I've just got some more shout-outs to do for you. So, I've got some shout-outs for Minehead Baptist Church.
We didn't quite get the video that went with it, but you can obviously hear how much our youngsters were engaged in what was a kind of very teenage appropriate.
Keep doing it, that's absolutely fine. And we'll need you to be signing up to get one of these. We'll get them into the post as soon as we can. But I've just got some more shout outs to do for you. So I've got some shout outs for Minehead Baptist Church, the Source Derby, Dovecote in Evangelical Church in Liverpool.
The theme of last night was standing strong and standing together. Friends, it's right and proper that we as a church engage with the young people and remind them that they have persecuted brothers and sisters around the world. Thank you, Mark, for organising that. And thank you for the clip via WhatsApp, I think, of that particular event. And that is true, isn't it? That we are called to stand firm for the Lord. You know, the Psalms are wonderful things, and one of the ways that going back hundreds of years in our church, probably thousands of years, that Psalms were used was as a call and a response. And we're going to use a call and response from Psalm 67 to open our service this morning. Now, you can see on the screen, you should be able to see at home, that we've divided this into verses. So I'm going to ask you to read all the even verses. And I'll read all the odd verses out myself. They're the ones on bold on the screen. The other thing that's true is, I'm going to let you know something, a real secret. When these were read originally, when they were used in praise originally, they weren't used by the English originally. Did you know that? Are you all okay with that? And therefore, they weren't English about their responses, so they didn't do this. May God be gracious to us and bless us and make his face shine upon us so that your ways may be known. They did not do that. They responded in voice and in praise and in worship. And so I'm going to ask you to be un-English at home and here and respond boldly and stand with our persecuted brothers and sisters around the world as we use this psalm. So here goes, as boldly and as loudly as you wish. May God be gracious to us and bless us and make his face shine on us.
So that your ways may be known on earth, your salvation among the nations.
May the peoples praise you, God. May all the peoples praise you.
May the nations be glad and sing for joy, for you rule the peoples with equity and guide the nations of the earth.
May the peoples praise you, God. May all the peoples praise you.
The land yields its harvest. God, our God, bless us.
May God bless us still, so that all the ends of the earth will fear him.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah, Lord. And we're going to do that, absolutely take that on the chin and do that now. Some of our young people, some of our children have got some harvest offering to bring. If you've come prepared in that way, or you've got something on the way in, please come and bring it. Lorraine will, I can think you're going to marshal it, or do you want me to, Lorraine? I'm marshalling evidently this year. Things could get a bit messy. But we are going to celebrate the amazing harvest of our Lord and be thankful to all those that produce that harvest for us. Lorraine's going to lead us in some worship.
So we're going to start with, well, we could only start with, come ye thankful people, come.
Do you know, we are truly blessed. I do not bear any apology for saying this again. We are truly blessed to have children and young people among us. And it was awesome. Thank you so much. Because as Lorraine was leading, I looked around and our young people and our children were worshipping in a myriad of different ways. From the flags over here, from the banners over here. Nearly got it wrong there, Debbie, sorry. It's okay. Going on in this corner, it was amazing to see. I was going to say people of all ages, Debbie, and I hope that covers everyone, worshipping together. Amazing to see some of our young people all around the place singing and worshipping God. Thank you, not just for worshipping with us, but for inspiring us with your worship. Do you know, it's true to say that our young people are blessed as well to live in the country they live in. But there are many children around the world who don't have the facilities, who don't have the access to things that our children have. Last year during lockdown, of course, at this time of year, we'd ordinarily be giving some of our mission monies away, as we discussed at the church meeting on Tuesday, or we'd be taking a harvest appeal. Last year, we couldn't do that in a normal way, so we gave as a church, in case you didn't know, to Compassion. We support them, I know many of us support them. But we were inspired by what they would call an intervention in Togo. And this is what the intervention was about. And their response to me. Basically, the intervention was about the fact that these children, once it got dark, couldn't do their homework because the parents, the areas they came from, were so poor that they didn't have the possibility of electricity at night, or at least not enough to let that happen. But Compassion had an idea about providing the families with limited income with what we might call solar-powered lighting. This is what they said. Thank you, Minehead Baptist Church. Due to your support, the future for 2,113 children has been transformed. Prior to this intervention, these children were unable to study with a lack of light in their homes, and limited family income would regularly be needed to replace battery-operated torches. 9 Compassion Child Development Centres across Togo have been equipped to provide light into the homes of the children they support. No longer needing to wait for a family member to finish with a shared torch, you have given these young people a new sense of motivation. They've been equipped to study and effectively prepare for their future. Your generosity has improved safety for these children as their homes now have improved lighting. Your dedication to helping people live in extreme poverty has transformed the lives of 2,113 homes across Togo. Thank you. See, harvest isn't just about saying thank you to God for what we have. It's about responding to God for what we have. Anyway, this is just for you. This has been made specifically, a short little clip, been made by some of the children. These are actually your lights in action, I might say. Some of the children who we helped wanted to say thank you to us. And so here is a little short video of them showing their new lights and making quite a lot of noise. Now, I cannot speak what the local Togo language is. I doubt they can speak English, but I can, and we all, and they do, understand the transformational language of Jesus Christ. This year, we want to do something very similar. We want to help people transform lives. And so you'll all have got one of these on the way in. Family, if you haven't got one and you want one, please let you know. Let me know. On it, it says, Christian Aid, Haiti Earthquake Appeal. There are so many things happening in our world that often things drop off the news, don't they? Maybe out of our consciousness. This year, friends, for this harvest, we'd love to bless those folk in Haiti for our Christian Aid. Now, if you are able to give, please give. But please don't think you have to give. Our response as a church to this would be to say, give as the Lord requires of you. And you don't have to give this week, because if you think, I want to think about it, or I want to do this next week or the week after, I want to post this back to the church, please feel free to do so. If you want to give by check, can I ask you to do, the treasurer asked me to ask you to do us a favour, and that is to say, make the check payable to the church and not to Christian Aid, because if you make it payable to Christian Aid, there's a whole lot more paperwork involved than if we send the monies on behalf of the church. Friends, I hope that little video has inspired you at what we might be able to do this year. But I know another thing that inspires me, prayer. So let's bring the situation you've just seen, bring ourselves before the Lord. Let's pray for the world and the world's harvest. Let's pray. Creator God, we thank you for today, for the splendour and beauty of creation. We thank you for those amazing children that we have seen. We thank you for your love which made the world. We thank you for those whose labour supplies our needs, for those who harvest our crops, for those who transport them, for those that process them, and for those who sell them. And we thank you, Lord, that a small response of the harvest you have given us has blessed those children. I thank you, Lord, that that's the first seed in who knows what. Maybe in one of those children there is a future leader of their country, a doctor that will save life, a church leader that will spread your word. We thank you that the harvest is not yet known, but you know. This morning, Lord, we think of those in our own number who need our prayers. And specifically, we bring Jenny and Mike to you. Lord, in their sorrow, be their light. In their grief and pain, be their peace. In the darkness, guide them, we pray. and we bring the world to you. We pray for those who have no harvest to celebrate, no crops to gather or labour to pursue. We pray for those who live on land that is hard to farm, scratching out a living in a hostile soil, amidst rocky ground and scorching earth. We pray for those who scratch no living from the earth, where the whole world seems to squeeze the life from their bodies. We pray for those who've left home, driven by war or want. We pray for those who work, men and women without work, men and women made redundant by changing need, children living off their wits in the streets of sprawling cities. We pray for those with no energy to praise you, whose bread is bitterness, whose water is tear. We pray for our persecuted brothers and sisters in Christ, whose worship this morning may be whispered, but nonetheless is worship of living God. And we confess our part in the sin of the world, and pray that you might grant us a vision of justice, mercy, charity, humility, and strengthen our readiness to change ourselves so that the glory of changing the world may go to you. We bring our prayers this morning through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Now, our children are going to leave us. There's no Mark this morning. Rather, he is here, but he's out there, if you see what I mean. Our children are going to leave us during this next song. And the next song includes the offering. So if you want to put your envelope in, feel free, this is a time. If not, and you want to get it ready afterwards, please feel free to give it to one of the leaders or to put it in the offering box, which is just over there. I just ask that all of us, and I include myself in this, may respond as the Lord wants us to respond. Let's pray for our children. Father, we thank you for the gift of these amazing children. And we pray, Lord, that as they go to their own part of this service, you would enrich them, encourage them, and be with them. That their leaders may speak of the sacrificial act of Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit. And that many would come to know you and be known by you. For we can think of no better harvest for this church than our children to know you by name and declare you as Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Our Lord, a Lord of compassion, he wept over his peoples turning their back on our God. He reached out to the sick, the poor. If we say we are Christians, then we follow Christ in his compassion. Let us not be hard-hearted. Let us remember compassion for all.
We're going to read some scripture from Matthew's Gospel. Matthew, one of those disciples that was with Jesus throughout his time here on earth, throughout his teaching time, I should say. We're going to look at Matthew chapter 9, just a small section of scripture before Richard comes and speaks to us, brings the word of God to us. In your Bible, it may well have a heading, and if it does, it will say something like, Jesus urges the disciples to pray for workers. Matthew chapter 9 from verse 35. Jesus went through all the towns and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the good news of the kingdom, and healing every disease and sickness. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field. May the Lord bless the reading from his word to us, and may he take the glory from our response. Let's pray for Richard as he comes to bring God's word. Father, I thank you for my brother. I thank you for the man of God that he is. And I pray, Lord, that as he comes and brings your word to us, that all his preparation that is of you would scream out at us, that we would respond. But I also pray, Lord, that you would touch his lips. And where he needs to bring word, Lord, that is from you this morning, that is new to him this morning, he would boldly proclaim the word of God. And we who listen may have ears to hear. So bless my brother and open our ears, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen.
Good morning, good morning. So we're gathered here today to celebrate one thing, God's provision. We call it harvest often for that symbolic moment of the year when the harvest was brought in and security was there for the year. It's been slightly lost on us. I suspect most of us probably don't think too much about when the harvest is going on, unless you are in fact the person doing the harvesting. And of course, we live in a society where we can go into a shop and buy things at any time of the year. You can even buy strawberries in January. They're often a bit sad looking, but you can buy them, and they've been flown in thousands of miles, but you can buy them at any time of the year. But we still want to celebrate God's provision, a provision that's not just adequate, but bountiful and generous. Take this past year and a half, for example. I remember having conversations in March last year asking how long we could survive financially as a church for. And the answer seems to be that there was no need to worry at all. We've pretty much broken even over this past year. God provides for us. Do we agree? Do we agree that God provides for us? That was an affirmative nod for those of you listening online. He provides all we need to carry out his mission and his call on our lives. We will always have enough when we follow him. I was at the Open Doors event last night and was amazed at the faith and the trust that you hear in the stories of people who've had to flee their homelands. They're never in doubt of God's provision. In fact, so sure of it that often they want to pray for us in preference to themselves. Perhaps sometimes we're a bit too comfortable. To rely on God for all things is challenging to us, even counterintuitive about placing our trust in that fact of God providing for us. It's in our very nature to want to provide for ourselves and be self-supporting and self-sufficient. It's our survival instinct kicking in. Very few of us probably ever go through life not knowing where our next meal is coming from. And those of you who've ever experienced it will know it's not a comfortable experience. Not a great feeling. So is that what God is asking us to do? To constantly be in worry about what is coming? To go through life without knowing what is happening or where? When or if the necessities of life are going to come to us? I've got some good news for you. I don't think it is the case. We read at the end of this passage, Jesus tells us to ask the Lord of the harvest to send out workers into his harvest field. The Lord will provide when and if we ask. Of that we can have no doubt. Now, of course, there are some caveats to this. It's not ask for absolutely anything and receive it. If anyone ever tells you that you can pray your way to riches, then they follow a different God than the one I do. But God will provide. But it's not always going to be easy. There are going to be times of less and times of more. Things will be difficult and challenging at different points in your lives. Yet the Lord will provide. It's very easy for us to fall into a complacency and say, I've prayed for it, so it will come. But we often want it to come in a sort of supernatural way. If we pray for something and then it appears in front of us in somewhere we didn't expect, we often think, no, I've prayed for it, I'm waiting for God to provide. Or just maybe he has. We wait for things to land right in front of us. Yet that is not usually the case. Things don't just fall into our laps. We have to work for things. And in this passage we see Jesus' famous saying, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. And most people now take this to mean, of course, the harvest of souls that are waiting to be saved for Jesus. And I've got some bad news, or possibly even good news, depending on your opinion. We are the workers of which Jesus is speaking. If we were to go around all the churches in Minehead and count up how many Christians there were, it's not going to be a massive amount compared to the population of the town, the 12,000 or so people that live in Minehead. It's a lot more of them than us. But it is a privilege, is it not, to be those workers? To be given this great responsibility, a collective responsibility that we all share together, to make the most of this harvest. For it's there to be brought in. It's so easy to sit back and think that someone else will do something, or it's someone else's job, or they're more gifted or skilled. But we all have our own giftings. It's fair to say that some of us have skills better suited to some aspects of ministry than others. You'll be glad to know I'll never be volunteering to lead the worship group on a Sunday. I'll save you all that. But I can do other things. I could stand up here and do this, which I know to some of you fills you with terror and dread. But I've got some news for you. If it was just left to Paul and I to do everything, we're not going to get very far. It's not just our mission. It's our mission together. Each of us are called by God to different paths. Different journeys to God. But good news, God gives us the gifts and the talents that are needed to fulfill those callings. He shows us the way to achieve them. I'd be lying if I said this journey was going to be easy. It's going to be challenging and difficult. And there will be setbacks and things will go wrong. But God will provide for us. He'll show us what it is to trust in him. It can feel like a massive step of faith to go out and follow God wherever he is leading. I'm standing here today because of that very fact. But in all things, I've realized that God does provide. He shows us the way that he wants us to go. It's not always as straightforward as you like. Those of you who remember back pre-pandemic will remember I moved here in February last year. So just in time for the whole world to go a bit wrong. Not the straightforward start to ministry I was expecting. Yet we can have an amazing impact on the world around us. It's what we're called to do. We read that Jesus had compassion on the crowds because they were harassed and helpless, like a sheep without a shepherd. So he came to save them and us. Jesus has come to save us, to shepherd us, to guide us. Isn't that good news for this Sunday morning and for all of time? This passage is followed by Jesus sending out his 12 disciples to spread the news of the coming of the kingdom of heaven. These few workers, there are more than 12 of us, you'll be glad to know, but they were sent out with nothing, told to carry no provisions or money, to rely on the generosity of others, rely on the provision of God. I would say we're quite lucky then to not be given these same restrictions and instructions. But these 12 men were the start of the church. From these small and humble beginnings came the church that has numbered billions as part of its body. From small things come great things. If we think of the history or the big events in the history of the church, we might think of Luther and the Reformation, or the evangelical revival of the 18th century, brought about in large part by Wesley. We see these great figureheads, these great titans of faith, names that could have been said to have altered history. And go, how can we ever compare to that? How can I ever stand up to that? I spend a lot of time in college in the week reading theologians writing and go, how on earth am I ever meant to write anything half as intelligent as that? But let's not forget, it wasn't just Wesley or it wasn't just Luther. If it had just been them, it would have probably died a sad and slow death, would it not? They were guided first and foremost by God, shown the way and what to do. But the movements they began relied on those who listened to God and listened to his prompting to follow and take part in these new movements. They carried out the mission to spread the gospel. Thousands of people died, probably millions of people died in the wars caused by the Reformation, fought over faith, even the same religion. I know we can't quite get our heads around it these days, but It was a movement of millions. We are part of a church of billions, some small part of it. God has given us giftings and talents to be used for the growth and the glory of his kingdom. I've got some news for you. It's time for them to be harvested. We have a twofold harvest here. A harvest of our own gifts and talents. A call to arms, if you will, to serve our God in whatever way he calls us to. And a call to make the most of that harvest of souls. We long for more to know of Christ's great mercy and love for us. But we've got a lot of work to do to get there. So a question for you this morning. Where is God calling you to? What gifts has he given you so that you might help build his kingdom? They'll be different for all of us, I'm sure. But come, now is the time to bring in the harvest. Bring in God's harvest for him. Shall we pray? Father, we thank you for your great provision, for all that you are, and your great love and steadfast compassion for us. Father, we want to offer ourselves to you this morning. Offer our gifts and talents that you have given us to make known your kingdom here in Minehead and wherever it is that you call us to. Father, we long for more to know you. Know of your great love for us. We ask this in your Son, Jesus' name. Amen.
Friends, as Richard reminds us, God provides for us. Sometimes we come to church and we're a bit too uncomfortable, aren't we? Because the seat isn't the angle we want. Or actually, we're sitting next to some, you get the drift. I pray this morning we will be uncomfortable because of the prompting of our Lord. Because we can rely on God for everything. And every single person in this place is called by God. Every single one of us. God gives us the gifts and the talents that we need, puts us in the right place and says, now go. Or come, follow me. Richard, there's good news for you, my friend. You don't have to be as intellectual as those theologians at college. Did you know that? All you have to be is yourself. And here's the good news of the morning for each of you. You do not have to be Paul McCabe. I can see that you're really happy about that fact. But the better news than that is you don't have to be me, because God simply longs you to be you. To be the you in him you were always meant to be. And this morning I think he is saying to the individuals in this church, to the church family wider, to NBC, just simply be who you are meant to be in me. And let me show you what I can do through you. When we come to harvest normally, we expect to bring stuff, don't we? You know, children bring tins. Incidentally, if you come and look afterwards, you'll see there's quite a variety of tins. And I loved the debate between a brother and a sister earlier about who was going to bring the beans and who was going to bring the fruit cocktail. And quite frankly, which one mattered most? But in reality, we bring stuff, don't we? Or we bring our offering, as we said earlier. You've seen that compassion video. Or we bring it to Christian Aid. Well, this morning, we just didn't want Harvest to be about what we bring, to be about our thank you. We wanted Harvest to be about our action. So we'd love you all to leave with something, every single person here. And so this is what we've got for you. It's an ear of corn. Wheat, sorry, actually, tell a lie. And it's yours to take home. And I'm told it's good because it's not at the stage of dropping, so there's no need to worry about what gets on the carpet. A reminder to you of all you've heard. There's a tag on it, and it says this on it. Lord, help me to be a worker in your harvest fields. Amen. The Lord this morning is calling Minehead Baptist Church to the harvest fields. In order that we can become an outward-facing people, movement of God, rather than an inward-facing church that does nothing except reflect on itself. That's the movement of God this morning, dear church. So I'd love you to join us. This will be passed around. And I'm going to finish with that simple prayer on your piece of wheat. Here goes. Lord, help me to be a worker in your harvest fields. Amen. If you can hear the rustle of paper, well, it's not paper, it's card online. That's because we've got some children that have come back and joined us. I'm going to ask Mark to come up and join me, not that he knew about half of this. Mark, going to come up and join me, my friend? That would be excellent. Okay. Because... Because I think you've kind of been busy, haven't you? Yeah. You've been busy, my friend.
We've been collecting the harvest. Well done, everybody. Now, I'm not sure whether we're able to do this, because we're online. Mummies and daddies, we're going to invite the children to come and stand at the front with their double. Okay? They've made themselves, because they're the harvesters in the field. If you are happy for your youngster to be on the live stream, that's great. If you're not happy, can you, your youngster, stand up where they are? Okay, because he is being live streamed. So if you would like to, would you come to the front, please, and stand up with your person? Okay? Okay.
Yeah, if we can make one big long line, Mark, is that okay?
Yeah. So one big long line at the front. Brilliant. Yeah. Yeah.
No.
Excellent. Right. So we've been talking about we are the workers. Okay, and we're going to go out into the field to collect the harvest. And we worked out, how are we going to do that? And we talked about being kind and doing nice things. And then one thing I said was that you need to smile. Because I don't know about you, but in church, I find a lot of people in church look really miserable. Right? Especially on songs of praise. Okay? They look really miserable. Right? And I said that if you smile... it's infectious. So they're going to stand here now and hopefully they're smiling at you. All right? And look how many smiles are smiling back. It's infectious. If we're going to be the workers collecting the harvest, which is the people around us, we can only do that if we are attractive. And I don't mean good looking. Okay? All right? I mean, go on. Hello, sweetheart. All right? Oh, that sounds like that. And I don't mean about just being good looking. I mean about us being attractive and people want to be around us. If we smile, we do that. If we look miserable, we don't. So I want us to go out and be harvesters. It's not hard work. Smiling is not difficult. And then when people say, why have you got that stupid grin on your face? Okay? You can say, because Jesus loves me. It's simple.
And they're doing one other thing. You can ask one thing. I'm not sure you heard it online, so here goes. Lorraine just asked, if we all went out together, would we be combined harvesters? That joke was not worth it, Lorraine. One other thing these lovely folk are reminding us of, can you see they're in a line? The other thing they are is together. If we're going to go into the harvest fields, friends, we need to be together. People have asked me in the past, Paul, how can we reach Minehead for the lost? Well, the answer to that is we can do this if we are together. If we forget ourselves and concentrate on the Lord. Not for our honour, but for his glory. Not for our power, but by his grace. You want to see Minehead saved for the Lord? Lose yourself and concentrate on him. That's the secret, that's the reality, and that's the answer. And I know that for sure. And if you want to know how I know, because these lovely folk, a couple of them are going to come and lead us with some prayer. Some prayer that will remind us that we're together in the harvest, young and old alike. So I don't know who that is, guys, who's going to come and lead us with some prayers. Hopefully Mark knows. So if you can sit down or move away so that people can see, that's brilliant. I'm going to put this towards you. Is that okay?
Thank you for the people that grow the food we eat. Amen.
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 Dear God, thank you for giving people light. Thank you for creating all of us. Thank you for harvest. Thank you for petrol and diesel deliverers, and thank you for farmers. Amen.
Amen.
Come on, Jamie.
Dear God, thank you for food and water and for people like farmers for collecting it for us to drink and eat.
Amen.
Amen.
Doesn't that prove how we are family, friends? If it doesn't to you, it sure does to me. And there's one more bit of family news we wanted to celebrate. Now, I'm going to go and get something quite precious. Hold on a tick. Here's what I've got to get. This isn't mine. This is actually Millie's. Certificated Millie. It says on there, this is to certify that Millie Payne has completed a Cert HE. No idea what that means. Course in theology, ministry, and mission, specialising in children, youth, and family ministry at Bristol Baptist College. And I want to read, if it's okay, Millie, what the principal of the college has given Millie as a verse. This is what he said, and this should be part of our prayer for Millie. And not only that, but we boast in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance. Endurance produces character. Character produces hope, and hope does not disappoint, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit that has been given to us. That is our prayer for you, Millie, but actually we didn't want to leave it there. So would you come and join me? And when you do go back, you can take that, because I've been worried that I'm going to duff that up all. come on up. Millie, we just wanted to say, in the last few weeks, we know you've finished your course, you've moved into your own flat, you've started a new job, correct?
Correct.
Wow. What a real change in your life, and we're very proud of you, Millie, and what you've achieved among us and through us and with us. So we wanted to say congratulations, and because you're now officially a student, there is only one way we can say thank you, isn't there? Buy new books. So Millie, this is from us to you with our love and our prayers, and to say congratulations on completing your course. And we hope they inspire you to do whatever God might have in store for you next, including whatever God has in store for you here within the church family at Minehead Baptist Church.
Thank you.
And I'm going to ask Mark if he'll come and pray for you and thank God for his provision during your time of study and for all that is to come.
Someone's just said to me, does that mean Millie's certified? Okay? It wasn't me. Yeah. Let's pray. Dear Lord, we thank you. We thank you for the harvest and the harvesters. We thank you that Millie, over the years, has been harvested. We thank you that people have embedded the gospel into her heart, have shown her what it's like to be a Christian in this world. And then, Lord, we thank you how that has grown and developed within her, and that she has been a harvester in this church. We thank you for the work she's done with the families, the parents, the children. And then, Lord, we just thank you that you have not finished with her yet. So, Lord, we pray that the plans you have for her are wonderful and unique and are special to her. You have plans for her not to harm her, but to prosper her. And, Lord, we send her out into the fields now to reap what she has already sown. Amen.
Well done, mate. Well, I and Mark are a little older than Millie, but we hope that when we are old and not able to, we say, I knew Millie when she started out. And actually, look what God has done. I think that's a wonderful thing we should be able to pray.
Yes, Lord, we pray, build your kingdom here. A reminder for you, this coming Saturday morning at 10 o'clock, we have an information morning. It would be lovely to see you there. It should be over by 12:30. Come and find out more about what the church is up to and what our plans are for the future. But may the blessing of the God who cycles the seasons and swells the grain go with us. May the blessing of the Son who harvests and kneads and breaks the bread go with us. May the blessing of the Spirit who challenges us to a just sharing of earth's harvest go with us, now and into the week ahead. Amen. Have a good rest of the week.
To leave a comment, please go to minehead-baptist.com/sermons. Well, thank you once again for listening, and I'll speak to you soon.